Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to our very first edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show, where we discuss the concept, history, and application of Black people leaving the slavery, suffering, and death of our former slave masters to create our own society based on freedom, justice, and equality. Our mission, and yours if you decide to accept it, is to seriously discuss, debate, and vet the concept of separation and its various implications as a viable solution for Black people in America, and to analyze historical and current separate societies and consider their models for implementation for our own. Tonight's show is hosted by none other than Dr. Rijli Abdul-Mumin Muhammad. Dr. Rijli is the student minister of agriculture and manager of Muhammad Farms. He has his PhD in agricultural economics. He's an author of many books and a member of the Nation of Islam Research Group. Dr. Rijli will introduce our in-house panel of experts and discuss the reality of separation and how it can be manifested and how you and I can participate. Without further delay, here is our host for tonight, Dr. Rijli Abdul-Mumin Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Alaikum salam, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you all for listening in. Let me give you a little bit of history of how this got started. Mr. Farrakhan, at the Day of Atonement, his subject was separation or death. And so I asked Mr. Farrakhan, could we do a conference call? after he gave his lecture on separation or death, and he said, well, yeah, brother, you can go on and have your little call, but Allah is going to separate us whether we want it or not. I said, okay, yes, sir. So we began to have some conference calls, and out of that, we have committees, and the heads of those committees are going to be introduced to you tonight, and they will be people who will be co-hosting with me and bringing guests as well to talk about the areas of separation that they are involved with. Our conference calls is we're talking about, you know, what have you been doing? What has your committee been doing? What do you plan to do? But the people who want to talk, they need to talk. So this has to be talked through. The ones of us who are in the committees, we've already made that commitment that we want separation. But we have to convince other people. And so we open up this forum to allow people to speak their minds so that we can come to a conclusion as to whether separation or integration is the best thing for our people. And if separation is the best thing, how do we go about doing it? It's going to require some sacrifice, but it's mostly going to require some planning, some thinking, and some planning and some thinking, and then there's got to be some movement. So what we're doing here is trying to dispel the mystery out of the idea of black people living just with themselves. As crazy as that sounds, that you have to get black folks to say they want to live with themselves instead of not living with themselves and only living as a second-class citizen to somebody else, but that's the reality of our condition. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read you of an article I did that will help us as a background to understanding what we're dealing with when we're dealing with trying to get black people to accept a separation. The article is called The Battered Wife Syndrome, or Top 10 Excuses Not to Separate. First of all, I quote from the back of the Time of Call newspaper, but was also on the back of the Muhammad Sikh newspaper for years, point number four of what the Muslims want. Number four, we want our people in America whose parents or grandparents were descendants from slaves to be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on this continent or elsewhere. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land and that the area must be fertile and minerally rich. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to maintain and supply our needs in this separate territory for the next 20 to 25 years until we are able to produce and supply our own needs. Since we cannot get along with them in peace and equality, after giving them 400 years of our sweat and blood and receiving in return some of the worst treatment human beings have ever experienced, we believe our contributions to this land and the suffering forced upon us by white America justifies our demand for complete separation in a state or territory of our own. This is from the Muslim program, What the Muslims Want, the back of the Final Call newspaper. This is what the Muslims who follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad want and have been preaching to black people in America for 80 years. The Nation of Islam has been preaching separation while the civil rights advocates have been preaching integration. It has been almost 50 years since the passage of the Civil Rights Bill of 1964. However, in 2018, a white man can step to any black man that he sees and just shoot him down, lynch him, or drag him behind a pickup truck and feel that he has done the white communities a favor. Why would black people continue to march and pray for white folk to treat them better? It is because they refuse to accept that they will never be accepted by their own enemy. To stay in this type of abusive relationship is pure insanity. It is like an outsider looking at the face of a battered woman and telling her that she needs to leave her husband, but she refuses to let him go. This type of behavior has been labeled the battered wife syndrome. The syndrome developed in response to a three-phase cycle found in domestic violence situations. First, tension builds in a relationship. Second, the abusive partner releases tension via violence, thus blaming the victim for having caused the violence. Third, the violent partner makes gestures of contrition. However, the partner does not find a solution to avoid another phase of tension building and release, so the cycle repeats itself. The repetition of the violence, despite the abuser's attempts to make nice, results in the abused partner feeling at fault but not preventing a repeat cycle of violence. Feeling both responsible for the violence and helpless to stop the violence, the despairing partner becomes depressed and passive. This learned depression, hopelessness, and passivity makes it difficult for the abused partner to marshal the resources and support system needed to leave. This mirrors the life of Black people in America who are treated like second-class citizens, shot down in the streets, railroaded in the courts, then paraded in the mass media to the world as deserving of such battery. Let's look at our top 10 list of symptoms of battered wife syndrome and see how they relate to the conditions of Black people in America who refuse to accept the solution of separation that was given to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and now through the his national representative, Mr. Louis Farrakhan. Number one, the battered wife says, my beatings are my own fault because I demand too much. Here's the Black community. If rebel rousers like Reverend Al Sharpton and Minister Farrakhan would stop demanding so much from white people, we may be able to get along with them. Programs like affirmative action or taking college seats and jobs from white people, Blacks should just learn how to fit in without being a nuisance. Two, here's a battered wife. If I leave, he will kill me, Black community. You know that if we go off somewhere by ourselves, away from white people, they're just going to bomb us like they did in Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1921 or like they recently did in Iraq and Libya. Where can we go that's safe? Three, the battered wife. He will just follow me and mess up my next relationship, Black community. The white man's got the FBI, CIA, Homeland Security, spy planes, high-tech artillery. You saw what the FBI COINTELPRO did to all our Black organizations. He will send in agent provocateurs and have us killing each other like he did in the 1960s. The battered wife. I can't make it without him because I'm ugly and stupid. Black community. Look at our young people dropping out of school. Look at how we fail in math and science. We don't know anything about running a nation or big businesses. How will we feed, clothe ourselves, and where are we going to work? Who's going to protect us from each other? Five, the battered wife. I don't want people to know that our marriage didn't work. The Black community. Separation would show that we could not make integration work. It would show that we did not take advantage of the opportunities that opened up for us. If I leave the big city and go back south to my family's farm, it would show that I was a failure and could not make it in the city. I will lose too much if I leave now. Freedom is too expensive. Black community, if we leave the big city, who is going to buy my home that I still owe on? At least I got a roof over my head. There's no telling what type of accommodations we will have to put up with if we set up our own towns. I don't want to live like those people I see in Somalia and the rest of Africa. The battered wife, I am too old to start over. My best years are behind me. Black community, we have stuck it out this long. Why leave now? We got a Black president now, or had one. Things have got to get better. By the time we get things going right in a new nation, I will be dead. Better wife. I don't deserve a better life, for I have sinned. Black community. A lesson in the Nation of Islam asks, why does the devil keep our people apart from his social equality? Answer, because he does not want us to know how filthy he is and all his affairs. He is afraid, because when we learn about him, we will run him from among us. Unquote. However, when we went to his integrated high schools and colleges, we picked up all of his filthy ways and instead of running him from among us, we delighted in his filth. Now, we are just as immoral as a white man. So why would God want to protect us? We are so lost from God, the battered wife. The next relationship could turn out to be even worse, the black community. I don't know if you have looked around recently, but black leadership is just as selfish and cruel as white leadership. There are big eyes and little U's in all black organizations that I've been a part of. Why should I leave a devil that I know to be with a devil that I don't know? Battered wife. Maybe this whooping was the last whooping. Black community. Trayvon Martin, Oscar Grant, Kenneth Walker. The list of pain goes on and on. But maybe we protest every time these things happen and stick together, we can stop the violence. Oh, I forgot. If we stick together, we can be labeled as a gang. And we can't use the word boycott anymore because that's threatening white people who might retaliate. But again, we had a black president. This shows that there are some good white people out there. We just have to teach our boys how to behave so that bad white folks won't gun them down. So this is the predicament that we find ourselves in as black people. And we, in the separation committee, we're calling ourselves now that it's time to leave, and we got a T-shirt based on that principle of time to leave slavery, suffering, and death, going to freedom, justice, and equality. And the brother is running out of slavery, suffering, and death at such a high rate of speed, he can't turn around. If he tried to turn around, he'd just fall down and roll over. He is a full sprint. And those of us who are in the time to leave movement, who believe in separation or death, we are in a full sprint movement. We have already begun to move. We're not talking about moving. We've already begun the process, and we want you all now to get involved. Let's hear what you have to say. So what we are going to do on this Blog Talk radio program is that we're going to have subject matter information brought to you from different people in our committees, and I'll talk to you about those committees in a few minutes, and we're going to have a guest come in to talk to us, and we're going to discuss the better ways to make some things happen for us to make things better. And if you don't believe in separation, if you really believe in integration, we are here to receive your argument. And we will see, using proper etiquette, a lawful dialogue, we will allow you to speak, and then we will tear you down. I'm just kidding. We're not going to tear you down. We will tear you up. No, we're not going to tear you up. We're going to present our case. And, of course, you have the right to do as you wish because you are Mike. Have free will. You can do as you wish. So the committees we have assisted living, and we have mission statements for each of these. The assisted living task force is exploring ideas on how the Nation of Islam can provide options for our aging and infirm population to live in communities that foster a caring family environment. And that committee is headed up by my great wife, Sister Anne Mukmin, she's a certified food processor. She's a sister to me on the farm, and she's a master baker. And, you know, she is very, very, very smart. She used to be the head of NAACP in Macon, so she's been a fighter for our people. For a long time, she set up a women's organization called New Food Business in Georgia. She's the president of the Georgia Women Community Producers Association that she set up. So she's very active in the community. But she's dealing with the Assisted Living Task Force. Then we have the Self-Sufficient Alternative Living Community Task Force. The Self-Sufficient Alternative Living Community Task Force is to promote, by example, our ability to do for self, as taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, in providing our basic needs, food, water, clothing, and shelter. Additionally, taking responsibility for producing communities that will realize a self-sufficient, healthier lifestyle. Now, Sister Mary is a student of the master teacher in this company, the Honorable Ms. Louis Farrakhan. She's a part of the National Association for Non-Advancement of Coons and White-Minded Negroes. She's founder of Ava's Garden. So she will be, she is the head of the Self-Sufficiency Task Force or Committee. Physical relocation. The physical relocation is designed to develop, disseminate information that will promote the position that black people should live in physically separate communities from white people, join on with like minds in order to build independent and self-sufficient communities, as taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Additionally, the task force will function as a source of assistance in overcoming the difficulties faced when accepting the challenge to physically separate to our own communities. And that physical relocation task force is being headed by a team of Brother Carlton Muhammad and his wife, Sister Majida Muhammad. And the reason they are a team is that they, as a team, have done exactly what they are talking about doing. They moved from Oakland, California, about 4 or 5 years ago. They moved from Oakland. They came to the farm about 10 years ago, saw what was going on here. They wanted to help the nation. They wanted to help their farm, and they physically moved their whole family. They have a beautiful home. They got two businesses going. So they are the example of a relocation family for real. So they will be head of that future relocation committee. Engineering, planning, and development to provide licensed professional and technical assistance to help facilitate the acquisition of land, residential and commercial property, and any dissemination of information deemed pertinent to achieve separation between land and territory of our own. This shall include, but it is not limited to, zoning, feasibility studies, development, construction, and design. And the head of that task force is Brother Horatio Muhammad, who's a civil engineer, general contractor, and home builder. He's a licensed civil engineer. He's not no jackpot shade tree. What's that word they use about when we try to put stuff together? Niggery. Brother. This brother here is the engineer, but he's also the independent contractor and home builder. Then we got the Skilled Trades and Apprenticeship Committee. This committee is to develop a network of skilled tradesmen and contractors who have the ability to build and maintain our separate communities, cities, and states. Our secondary goal is to develop apprentices as the next generation who can continue our work as generational skilled tradesmen. In other words, if you're going to have a community, you got to have somebody who knows how to fix things, who knows how to design things, who knows how to make things, who knows how to keep things going. There is no mystery God, and Mama Nature don't care about your belief system. You better know some mathematics and know how to fix something, know how to build something, know how to protect yourself, know how to use the resources that are in her to make a heaven for yourself. So those are our committees. And I know we have some of the committee heads here, and I would like to introduce you to them. If they want to say a few things to start this conversation off, they can well do so. So first of all, since I want to have a good meal tonight, I'm sorry, y'all, I am a little bit prejudiced. I'm going to have my wife to speak first. Sister Ann Mufameen, do you have any opening comments about what you all are about?
Assalamu alaikum. All the committee heads and everyone who may be listening. Yes, as Dr. Ridley stated, I'm heading up the assisted living task force. And I know I'm not the only one that know that there is a need for us. And when I say us, the believers in the Nation of Islam, to provide for our elders and those infirmed who cannot continue to maintain the same lifestyle that they once had when they may have been working or in better health. So that is why the Assisted Living Task Force came about. And because I know personally believers who have attained age, as being over the retirement age, and are now having health issues, declining health, and cannot do all of the things that they need to do, even as far as preparing healthy meals every day. So these are things that we have to begin to think about. And I constantly, and my husband will tell you, I've been preaching this for the last several years, that until we can point to one thriving community as the Nation of Islam, our people will continue to see us as not following up on what we talk about. So it's now past time for talk. We've got to do some work. And assisted living also will attract people who may have retirement income. So you will not be starting with necessarily all individuals who need to look for employment. That is why I feel like it can be the first stage of developing, along with places for the people who you need to service those individuals to live. But we have got to begin to think this way and move out. And I firmly believe that when Minister Farrakhan set the Savior's Day goal of $10 million, he thinks a lot more advanced than we do. I'm sure he has all of these things in his mind. So we have to now, we still have the rest of this month to try to meet our individual goals, now that all the other things that people were asking us to do during the Savior's Day drive, all of that is out of the way. Things should never be in the way of what the minister asked for. This is my personal opinion. So now let's finish out this month helping our leader, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, reach that goal that he set for us for Savior's Day. And let us individually begin to think about what is going to be my contribution to help building a community. And the last thing, the minister recouped this 1,600 acre plot of land here in Georgia. Not all of this 1,600 acres is farmable. Some of that land can be set aside for other people. See the need of going out looking for land to do an initial project when this land is here. Just my personal opinion. With that, I will release my opinion and continue to do my work to make this a reality and hope that others will join us. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. And next, we will have Sister Mary from the Self-Sufficient Alternative Living Community Task Force to give her introduction to what they do.
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Is she there?
She may have been cut off.
No, she's there.
We can't hear you, sister.
Yeah, Sister Tony, hold on just a minute. Mr. Mary...
Trailers, storage container homes, earthship homes.
Okay. Sister Mary.
Yes, sir.
We didn't hear none of that. For some reason, you are out.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes. So now start over.
Okay, praise God. Okay, I'll start again. Awesome. Like, our task force deals with primarily alternative living situations. So our focus is to acquire land, build homes on that land ourselves that will be debt-free and live mostly off the grid, meaning we dig our own well, we're dealing with solar energy, and basically urban homesteading. from very small farms to large homesteads. So we primarily deal with trying to take the middleman out of our situation and learning how to get back to the earth and do for self. So we are at the very beginning of our process, and we're learning, and there's other people that are already doing it. So we're very excited about, you know, this new existence. But our focus is trying to acquire land to live amongst believers that believe as we do and live as we do, and not have to worry about being attached to our open enemy by having a job. You know, we are going to create our own jobs. Like, I haven't had to really, like, work for anyone for years and years and years. And it's because you use your talent, you use your skill to try to get, get what you need. But right now, I think it's time for us to kind of downsize. It's not necessary to have a 4,000-square-foot house. You know, what is the point? So this is really for people that are already there already, and then we can also try to get people that are not there and, you know, mentally to get to that place where simple living is good enough. But having clean water and eating good food and being around good people and having good conversations is what life is really about. And so that's the life that we are trying to live. Without having the influence of our open enemy in our everyday life. So that's what our task force focus is.
Thank you so much. And we will have a chance for people to call in and ask questions once we finish introducing everybody. If people want to call in and ask anybody any particular questions, they can do so. The next is the Physical Relocation Committee with Brother Carlton and Sister Majita.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Salam. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Sister Majita, if you could go ahead and introduce yourself and tell our listeners a little about our committee.
Yeah, Brother Carlton, he's working the board, so he has a double task. So, you know, we have his wife to do some more speaking to him because he got to make sure he don't mess up. But go ahead, sister.
Okay, yes,
thanks
sir.
A lot, Doc.
Well, Dr. Ridgely, thank you. You've already given our mission statement for our physical relocation task force. So to save time, I'll just go right into it. And so when you talk about separation, we're the physical relocation task force. You have to factor in physical relocation because, you know, Black folks, we move around all the time. Whether we're physically relocating from one place to another for better job opportunities or our career, whether it's for cheaper housing, family obligations, some of us move because we just want to retire. But what we're striving to do in the Physical Relocation Task Force is drive and promote the importance of physical relocation for the purpose of community building. You mentioned, Dr. Ridgely, that we have our weekly separation committee conference calls, and on one of those calls, you shared some guidance with us when you stated this, quote, "There are two roads towards separation. Either you control the community that you live in or move to a community that you can control. Each of these roads requires different steps and procedures to produce a successful community. Our mission is to produce a working model for each of these roads with road markers for others to travel," end quote. So what my husband and I have attempted to do in writing the separation preparation workbook titled "It Is Time to Leave," is to give some steps on what you can do to first just wrap your mind around how you begin to put a plan in place. Also to show you that it can be done. a lot of times we just have the fear of something new, and we just convince ourselves that we are not going to be successful before we even try. So we try to dispel that fear by letting you know through the steps that we've put in the workbook that it can be done by Allah's grace and mercy successfully. And also to let you know that community building around Muhammad Farms specifically is in progress. So I'll stop right there. I have more to say, but I'll stop right there and let my husband add more if he would like at that time. Thank you.
And thank you for giving me a chance to talk, Sister Majida. Dr. Visley, my wife and I, you know, we made the decision to leave Oakland, California, and come to live by the farm because we came to the realization that somebody has to be first. Someone has to, you know, make the decision and not believe in a mystery God and start to make a separate community real. You know, separation is one of the tenets of our faith. It's other than us becoming gods ourselves, it's the second most way we can manifest the reality of these teachings that we have. If we don't get established a separate state or territory of our own, then everything we say I believe in goes for naught because we don't have anything actual factual that we can touch and show. So we have to get land. We have to have our own community. And it's no mystery, God. It's the mother plane is not going to come and zap all white folks and we got the whole country. It is true that that America is going to burn, but probably not before the end of our lifetime. So I'd like, you know, in my lifetime to at least be beginning and starting a separate state or territory. And so what part of what we're doing is we're trying to reach out, attract, and stimulate other brothers and sisters that feel this way too, that want to be the new pioneers, not pioneers in just the faith only, but pioneers in the true sense of the word, who are willing to sacrifice their lifestyles now and move to a new reality where we can make our own communities.
Okay. And I just want to say one word there in what you just said. I think the key factor you just said was lifestyle. You're not asking people to give up their life. You're just asking people to give up or change their lifestyle. So I thought that was very
yes,
important.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, now moving right along to Brother Horatio. Is he online for engineering planning and development?
Yes, sir. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salam.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. This is Brother Horatio Muhammad. I'm the chair of the Engineering Planning and Development Task Force. And, of course, Dr. Rizzi already gave the information on our task force. But just to reemphasize what our purpose is, our purpose really is to provide a license, technical assistance in all of the task force's missions, what they mentioned, like the acquisition of land or development of sewer system, development of water systems, as well as floodplain analysis. Oftentimes we have clients that go out and buy land, come to us later to find that the things that they want to do on that land, they're not able to do because of the land itself or some type of code or whatever. So we want to help provide that expertise in the field of engineering, the field of development and design to make sure we're not using our hard-earned money to go out and purchase property that cannot be used like we planned. Also, as far as like the assisted living facility, there are many things that have to be thought of in the design to actually put it on paper in a way that it can be realized in real construction format. And so we are here to assist in that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And, you know, in other words, people, we ain't playing. We're going to be laying down some bricks soon with your help, inshallah. So the next one is a skilled trades and apprenticeship program. Brother Tony, you online?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely, and to all the committee members and listeners. Assalamu alaikum.
Thanks, Long.
You, as you know, pretty much, you touched on our mission statement and our goals with the Skilled Trades and Apprenticeships Committee. I'm currently the coordinator of the Skilled Trades and Apprenticeships Committee. And we have a pretty good group of actual licensed contractors. One plumbing contractor, Brother Horatio is a general contractor, and Brother Carlton, of course, does home repair. And so we have a pretty good group of brothers that are standing with us right now. We got started in this initially based on a call from a sister in Atlanta, Sister Lisa Muhammad. She's probably listening in right now because of the Flint water crisis. Initially, we started with a group, myself and about six or seven other brothers, but, you know, scheduling, things of that nature, we couldn't proceed forward, but we still have the basics to what the skilled trades and apprenticeships is all about. Observe the condition of our communities in this country. We'll find out the common denominator. And we know knowledge of self is the issue. But our problem is that we ain't got no confidence that we can have the actual ability to build our way out of this condition. And so what we are desirous of in this committee is to start developing the network, which we've already started doing, a network of skilled tradesmen, contractors, builders, who can at least, if not immediately, sometime in the future, start considering staging themselves in a separate state or territory of our own by using their skills, and couple that with the apprenticeship programs by which we can continue what we desire to do in terms of building and maintaining our own community. I was inspired based on what I read in the Message to the Black Man to actually move forward with this with a lot more tact and certainty. And that was, I read the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's words verbatim: "We have been chosen to build a better world." That's a heavyweight of responsibility, to be chosen to build a better world. When I look at the different skilled trades, when I look at the different buildings, and I look at the infrastructure in this country, we probably already know this when we saw what happened in Atlanta with the bridge collapse. We saw another road in Atlanta buckle, and they actually killed a man who was driving on I-20. Coming across Atlanta, he hit this big dip that just formed in the road, and he was killed. That tells me that America's deteriorating because they use inferior processes. They use inferior materials, and not just that, but they consider making more money more than they do building for the lives of the people. So we intend to develop a system by which we can not only develop the new builders for the new world, but the apprentices will be able to take on what we give them and be much better for our world. We ain't gonna build a world like this one that's deteriorating like this, that's using lead piping, that's using all of this stuff that's contaminating the soil. We're not gonna do that. So at some point when we break away, we're gonna have to use something much better than this. Thank you.
Okay, there y'all have it, family. That is our team. And I think that we can begin with that team and do the planning necessary to separate. And if you all want to call in and talk, ask questions to me or any of the people on our panel, the number is 563-999-3656. That's 563-999-3656. And we got about 15 minutes.
So Dr. Mitchell, can I go ahead and open? Can I go ahead? It looks like we have some people in the line.
Yeah, go ahead and open it up. And while
he's
opening it up.
Caller at one last four numbers, 1498. If you can state your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Melva from California.
Walaikum salam, ma'am.
I heard so much on the different task force, and all of them are a blessing. There are probably three of them that are interests for me, because I do plan to come back to Georgia. But when I do come back to Georgia, by the grace of Allah, I plan to have purchased some land and a house. But in listening to Sister Mary on self-sufficient housing, I've always been interested in alternative housing. And I do have questions for Sister Mary.
Okay, well, Sister, go ahead and ask your question. Did you want to ask your question now, or did you want to contact Sister Mary later?
No, I can ask the question now.
Okay, go right ahead, Sister. We got short time, and we want to get to as many callers as possible.
Yes. The types of housing that you are talking about, what are they, and how can we contact you in getting more information?
Yes, ma'am. So I will give you my contact information, but for instance, next month I'm going to Georgia to do a shipping container house training. So this brother has done what the minister told us to do, which he sold his home. He had a 4,000 square foot home, and he bought 11 acres of land in Georgia and built his own house. And it is beautiful. It is beautiful. It's 80% off the grid, and he has an aquaponics greenhouse, which is also 80% off the grid. So, and he has people that believe as he believes, and he's going to have people that live on parcels on his land. So that is next month, but I will get your information from Brother Carlton, and we can have, I'll give you that information. You might be interested in coming. There's still space, and I do need a roommate, so praise be to Allah. So I'll get your information from Brother Carlton, and then we can talk.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. So now we're going to go to the next caller. We're down to 10 minutes.
Let me say this. That, remember now, each one of these panelists in the future will have their own whole hour, so you'll be able to get into more specifics. So go ahead, Brother Carlton.
We had a caller that's been waiting for 45 minutes. Caller with the last digits 1924. Do you have a question?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is Brother Cedric Muhammad from the Little Rock Study Group. I do have basically a two-part question. First and foremost, we're talking about separation and independence. What about our legal and lawful matters that ties us to the United States Corporation, as far as our legal system, which is a big thing that's dealing with our youth, you know, as far as setting our court systems and being in our own jurisdiction, separate from them, so they won't be killing our youth and whatnot. That's an issue I hadn't heard speak on. And the second one was dealing with our medical issue as far as hospitalization and people that may have ailments that depend on the foreign jurisdiction for support in life. Like I'm a heart transplant patient, and the medication to keep me alive costs over $1,000 a month. So those are two issues that I'd like somebody to address.
Well, does somebody else want to address it? Well,
you can back up. I'm getting ready to come on. Can you hear?
Now, for instance, if this is a 70% black county and here in Georgia, Terrell County, and there are a lot of counties like that. And it's just a matter of enough of us with some vision and courage to come down here and take over. In other words, you can get the people to believe in what you believe in terms of some basic things that are needed for the community. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about the needs of the people in the community. And you can change the laws and fit the laws to what you want. You can tax yourself as you need. You can build and continue to build a hospital like in Albany, Georgia, that is like 60-70% black. They got a couple of hospitals. Black folks work in those hospitals. So it's just a matter of getting a job in the hospital, and one day we buy in the hospital when we got enough money to buy it, but it's already there. It's just a matter of just moving right in. White folks are leaving the South, leaving the country, as a matter of fact. All we have to do is make a decision to move and to take over. Now, in terms of the heart situation, the heart transplant situation, and the medical thing, well, we ain't got that type of money to keep that going. So that's why we tell people it's a matter of how they need to live. Everybody not going to be able to make that move. We understand that. But we want to get enough people to make the move so we can build a system that can, in fact, be better for everybody. But everybody's not going to be able to move, but that's okay. Those who can, let's move and let's make it happen. Anybody else want to chime in on that?
Yes, sir. Dr. Rizzo, this is our brother, Horatio. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I would like to say, as far as the brother made a point about the young people in the court system and about our people being under attack under the enemy. And I believe that once we have our own community in which we control, we raise and control our children the way we used to control our children. We won't have the problems that we've had in dealing with an open enemy in their society. And so we have a truly a village or a community that help raise our children. So we'll be able to avoid a lot of those problems that we have now by living amongst the enemy.
Thank you very much. Also,
I would add to that, starting lastly with the last statement, the children, if they are under court jurisdiction and if they are considered minors, they can be moved to other locations, even if they are under the superior court jurisdiction, which is more serious crime. If they have not been tried as an adult, usually it's just a matter of transfer, saying that they are moving. The parents can authorize that if they want that child to be in an environment where they will get better supervision and care. And also, here in Terrell County and Daugherty County, the main employing industries here are hospitals. And anybody with major medical issues, all you do is talk to your doctor and ask them to find in the area where you're planning to locate whether or not that service is available there. And more than likely it is, because, you know, you've got Macon, you've got Columbus, you've got Albany, all within maybe a 100-mile radius with major hospitals and trauma units.
And the point, too, is that there's black folks in every facet of everything in America, including the hospital system. We just don't own it and control things, but we're there. We know how to run it. We run it for them. All that they do is keep the whip over our head, but we know how to do everything. It's just a matter of us deciding to do it for ourselves instead of being afraid to do it for ourselves. So anybody else?
Yes, Dr. Ridgely.
Yes.
We got the separator on the line, and he has a special announcement he'd like to make. Brother Lewis?
Okay. Assalamu alaikum, family. Islam, sir.
Yes, sir. Next week, same time, same place, we'll be hosting a show on this channel here, the student national spokesperson, Dr. Ava Muhammad. I'll be the host. And the title of our show is going to be The Need for the Black Woman to Separate and Creating a Safe Space for Black Women. And so I hope that everybody will tune in, really enjoying the show.
Wait a minute, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on now. Are you telling me that next week?
Come on.
Same time. Same place.
Yes,
same
sir.
Place. You have actually confirmed that Minister Ava, the national spokesperson for the Nation of Islam, will be on this program.
Yes, sir. She absolutely will, and she's so looking forward to it. As you know, you and Dr. Ava Muhammad each Thursday are on. This is very important for our separation because you can't do it without someone putting up the cultural collateral. Our people have to have the will and the desire, the burning desire to be with one another. And so I'm hoping that everybody will tune in. I got a set of questions I want to ask her. I want to talk about the feminist movement. I want to talk about what separates the black woman from the white woman. I want to talk about why it's necessary for the black man and black woman to fight each other. We don't want a high divorce rate.
Right.
And why it's so important for us to be together and for the black man to build a reality with the black woman. So tune in next week.
Come on.
Now let's get this straight. Next week at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. The number is 563-999-3656. Or you go to Blog Talk Radio. Time to leave, and that they will be able to ask questions to and listen to our sister, Dr. Minister Ava Muhammad. I thought we may be able to get her somewhere down the line, but we got it right here on time.
Me too. Right on time.
It must be
praise
time
be
to leave. Thank you. Anybody else?
We are down to the last 2 minutes. Should I try to get a quick caller, or should we do closing statements?
Brother, anybody have anything they want to close with? Well,
the black man is God.
Well, that's right. We're going to start acting like it.
That's right.
All I'd like to say is
everybody, you know, we have a website. It's called timetoleave.us. If you go there and you register, you will receive updates, emails, and text if you put in your phone number, and to get reminders for the show and new blog posts. So if you just want to stay plugged in, go to timetoleave.us.
And he said blog posts. That means that we're going to be having continued conversations on timetoleave.us on the subject matter of separation. So with that, I think you can play the closing anthem. And thank you very much, family. See you next week with Minister Ava and our separator, Brother Louis Ali. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
Out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Alone.
I never at once felt so alone.
Alone.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel.
Uh-huh.
Not just my spare tire.
Oh.
But Lord, I ask you to be my force and truth.
Oh.
For some strange reason it had to be.
Oh.
He guided me to Tennessee.
Oh.
Then out of nowhere, you tell me to break out of the country. my ears are so young. Go back to when you came. My family tree, my family land. For some strange reason it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
Down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. Why my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me without the enlightenment of all my folks. He said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth and he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty.